blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 139, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Our God shall surely come, nor silence shall he keep. Devouring fire shall herald him. About him storms shall sweep. 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 139.
Thank you. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour will be from Hebrews 10, beginning at verse 23. But let us first make confession with the Church of all ages in the words of the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 23 to the end. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, eternal, long-suffering God of the covenant of thy own church, Thou who hast created us, Thou who hast sent Thy dear Son into this world, that He might pay that great and high price for sin, and Thou who, sitting at the right hand of Thy Father, doth give the application in sending forth and Thy Holy Spirit also to the end of the time. O Thou before whom we do assemble on this thy holy day, on the day of the resurrection of thy dear Son from the dead, and in commemoration thereof continually, of him who was dead and is alive and shall live forevermore. O, we beseech thee, when thou art at the height of thy power and in all thy glory amidst all thy holy angels, and in the midst of the presence and the nearness and communion of thy own Father, O, that thou, from such a place where thou dost dwell, would send forth in these moments when we, upon thy footstool here below, who yet do struggle under all the under sin and all of its consequences, and thou who dwellest on high and who humblest thyself to behold the things that are done in the heavens and in the earth, O, we beseech thee, wilt thou look down upon us in this hour? O, thou knowest it is a special hour, an hour in thy house, where these young people, with the desire that lives in their heart, for which they have been preparing in the year that is gone by, and may come to this moment when they may give their solemn oath unto thee and before us as witnesses, O Lord, we beseech thee, that thou may remember each and every one of them. O Lord, they do enter not as a member for many years ago already. Thou hast brought them into thy church in the way of thy great and holy providence, and when thou hast given their parents to present them for that holy sacrament, and that name of the triune God has been placed upon their foreheads. Oh, they have lived under the instructions of father and of mother. They have lived under the instruction of their teachers in church and in school. O Lord, so much has gone by already in their young lives, and they come to this most solemn moment in their life, an impossible moment, of, as we have spoken of often together, to give this solemn promise before thee, that they do not only believe that which is brought forth here in this thy church, but also that they will live according to it, that they will never forsake it, that they will bring forth works to show that lives also within them. O Lord, that is so impossible from our side. Then they need to be born again. O Lord, we beseech thee, give them then what is necessary in these moments, and all the desire of their hearts, that they may receive from thee that new birth, that they may receive the ability to answer honestly before thee, and that they may be granted thy blessing when they do wish to walk in the way that thou wilt have each and every one of us to walk in this world. O Lord, we have no right to remain unconverted and to remain apart from thee and apart from thy own people. But oh, we cannot just join ourselves, O Lord, and we must be joined by thee. That is thy own work. We beseech thee then for them, that thou may bless all that they do receive in this place, that we may be as instruments in thy hand also, as office bearers, continually in the labors of our hands, that they may receive in thy house a blessing out of thy most heavenly store, that thou may look upon those also that have been baptized, and know a desire for this is living within their hearts. O Lord, they also have a duty. Wilt thou remember them where that they are, as Satan does draw in so many ways. Oh, we beseech thee for our children and for our grandchildren. Oh, that thou may bring back again when there is a departure from thy truth. For we have heard it in these moments. If we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, then there is no more sacrifice for sins. Because if we reject thy Son, then we reject the only way that we can be delivered from all our miseries and again be received into favor. Oh, that only that one name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, that thou would show it unto them, bring them back, Lord, in thy mercy. And thou knowest each and every one of us who have also made such a confession in our life. Thou sayest they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Within thy church, Lord, there is wheat and there are tares, and there are good fishes and there are bad fishes. O Lord, then it will always be a mixed multitude, and yet, Lord, we cannot miss the blessing. O, we beseech thee then, wilt thou work mightily amongst us as a congregation, and fathers, mothers, grandfathers, grandmothers, children, youth, each and every one in all the circumstances of our lives, that we may be truly pilgrims journeying to another country. Draw our souls after thee, O Lord, and give a blessing in thy house continually. It is a house where thou sayest thou wilt come, and thou wilt dwell when two or three may be gathered together in thy name. Oh, when it is in the official way, when it is in a public way, O Lord, then it is also so fit for thy presence, for thy nearness, for thy blessing, for thy favor, that it may be also, and that all those that live round about us in the community, in the world in which we do live, may see in us a people that are not tied to this world, but whose hearts are in heaven, whose treasure is in heaven, and that we do live so in the midst of all the community wherein we dwell, that we might be truly as a light, as a candle upon a candlestick, O Lord, as a city upon an hill, that it might be seen, that it may be spoken of, what the love of that people is for one another, and what the love is and the desire is for their God, that they do despise all that is perishing, and that they live a different life. O Lord, it needs to be given unto us by thee, but that we might not live so carelessly and so slothfully in the midst of this world. Oh, put our hands in our own bosom. Show us, Lord, how unclean that they are, each and every one of us, that we might humble ourselves before thee in dust and in ashes, that we might be ashamed of ourselves, and that we may turn away from all of our carnality and of all of our sin. Wilt thou look upon all those that do bring thy word and thy truth over the length and breadth of this whole world. O Lord, it is today that we might see a little gathering in an outward way. Could it be also in a great way in the midst of the world in which we are living? We know that it is but a little remnant, and yet it shall be a company of 144,000, a complete number, and thine elect shall be brought in, and not a hoof shall be left behind. Oh, that we may receive a desire and a longing in our hearts, that we also may be included, and that it might be the concern of our heart that we may not be left behind when others are brought in. But wilt thou bring them in from the mission field, our own mission field, and all that labor and hope to labor there in the future, and give them strength, ability, and supply from above. Our theological school, the instructors, thy servant in his sickness, supply, Lord, for all that he must endure also in the weeks that are to come. The student in this week in his examinations, and when we hope to meet as a curatorium, oh, could it please thee to gladden us by thy deeds, that there may be freedom yet to admit a man of thy choosing into the theological school, that that time might come, and that they might go forth to bring thy word. Look upon us then in thy mercy, care for us in this afternoon hour. Give to us all a sigh and a cry to thee, and that in this hour thy presence, thy nearness may be felt feelingly and believingly in our hearts, in the preaching and in the hearing, in the singing. O Lord, grant us thy presence, thy nearness, thy favor, thy blessing be among us undeservedly, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being receive, we'll sing from Psalter 134 all the stanzas. Within thy temple, Lord, in that most holy place, we on thy loving kindness dwell, the wonders of thy grace men sing. Thy praise, O God, where'er thy name is known, by every deed thy hand hath wrought, thy righteousness is shown. All the stanzas of Psalter 134. Beloved congregation, at his baptism, the Lord Jesus Christ entered officially into his public labors. And what do we read immediately following this public entrance? We read that he was driven into the wilderness, there to be tempted of the devil. If that was so of the Lord Jesus Christ, how much more can we expect this also to be so concerning the church of God? Because Satan is always filled with fury at the losing of his own subjects. And this he did see clearly when Christ began his ministry, and with every application and entrance into his church, and then there is also a hatred and a fury that is experienced by this arch enemy of Christ and his church. Christ stood under those temptations. But when a man of us is able to stand under the temptations of the devil, he was not too strong for Christ himself, but he is too strong for each and every one of us. And therefore the apostle has admonished the church of the Hebrews, which we wish in this special service to consider with you, out of Hebrews 10 and there of the 36th verse. Hebrews 10, verse 36, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." So far the words of our text. The need of patience, because he says, "For ye have need of patience." The need of patience first for what this patience is needed. We read that ye might receive the promise. And second, in what this patience consists. We read, "After ye have done the will of God." Thus, the need of patience, first, for what this patience is needed, and second, in what this patience consists, that ye might receive the promise. That is not the promise itself, because they had the promise. The promise was given unto them. The apostle Paul is speaking to God's own people, and God's children have a promise. The promise is for them. That promise is unto them. Is that promise also unto us? Because it is not to everyone. Thus we have to ask, is that promise now unto us? Am I also addressed in the Word of God as one to whom the Word, the Lord, addresses his promises? But now the giving of a promise and what is called here the receiving of the promise, they are two different things. Thus the receiving of the promise, that is the fulfillment. So boys and girls, if your mother or father speaks a promise, they give you a promise, then you don't have it yet, right? And you say you are still waiting for it. So the first, in the giving of a promise, then there is hope in your heart, and that hope is that one day you will also receive it. And the second, of course, when you receive it, well, then you say, I have it, then I see it. That is now what the Apostle Paul is calling here now the receiving of the promise. The Apostle says to the church, we are saved by hope. Hope that looks to the future. Because he says we do not have it yet. We are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then he says, then do we with patience wait for it. So that is now what the church is waiting for. The true church of God, they're waiting yet to receive the fulfillment of the promise of the Lord that they are hoping upon. What is now the promise the Apostle Paul is here speaking about? He says that you might receive the promise, but we read in the following verse, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Thus we have the promise. When did the Lord give this promise? The Apostle Paul is here referring to a promise that was given unto the people of the Lord in the time of the prophet Habakkuk. And then that time, the children of Israel lay under the yoke of the enemy. And while they lay under that yoke, in their affliction, in their trials, in their tribulations, then the Lord did promise them and that he would come. That he would come and he would deliver them from that yoke. Thus the Apostle Paul now is speaking here many years later to the Hebrew Christians. The Hebrew Christians. So they came out of that Jewish church. We would say out of the synagogue into the church, if we want to say it that way. It was very difficult for them. They had a very special tribulation that was not of the Chaldeans. That was their own people. That was their own brethren. We say that is the worst, isn't it? A trial by your own brethren. And why? Well, you say the enemy, and that knows nothing. The Gentiles, they have more compassion sometimes than those that are among your own people. And that's how that was now for those Christians that did come out of that Jewish church. Then they were persecuted even by their brethren in a very, 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 very difficult, in a hard manner. And now the Lord promised deliverance to those Hebrew Christians. And he said that that time is coming that the Lord was actually going to destroy that temple where the Jewish people did reject the Son of God, and that he was going to punish the Jewish people by destroying that city of Jerusalem. And we know that the Lord Jesus gave signs, many different signs to his people, to his church, when that this was going to happen. And he said to them that they needed to watch for these signs. And when those things began to come to pass, Then he says, then you should look up. He said, because your redemption that is drawing nigh, when all these things begin to happen, then your redemption from the persecution of your own brethren, there, that Jewish people, and that is going to be at hand. That is applicable to every single deliverance of the Lord to his people. That is in a natural way. That is in a spiritual way, in their soul. We know that also had to do with the second coming of Christ. That is the further fulfillment of that same prophecy, when the Lord, he would come not only to deliver his people in this way, but also when he comes in the end of time to deliver his church in the end of the world. For ye have need of patience, that ye might receive the promise. So patience, what is that? That is steadfastness. You have need of constancy. So a patient waiting, a patient enduring. Say, why was that necessary? Well, actually, for two reasons. First of all, because the promise of the Lord was not going to be received and is never received in the true church of God without great difficulty, because the church of God, as we have shown, that is an afflicted church here below. You believe that, young people? Do you realize what church that is? A home that you desire to join in this day. That it is an afflicted church. Ruth, she was well aware of that. She observed all of the crosses of her mother-in-law. She saw why she came to Moab. Hunger. Widowhood. Loss of children. She herself entered into that same way. She knew a little of the beginning of it already in her young life. And yet she said, thy people, my people. That is a beautiful thing, isn't it? It is never in the world that there is a man that is without troubles. And it is true that people, they get their special troubles. There is a reason. We hope to see that. And yet now, for someone to say, yes, but, that is a people who have something to go through their troubles with. We hope that you might see that. The Lord Jesus, he says, if someone is going to build a tower, what is he? Then he sits down first, right? And he counts the cost. Thus have you counted the cost. Also in an outward way of doing what you desire to do in this day. The Lord says, I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and a poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. And we hope that you may truly be one of that people. Paul well knew here what these persecutions of these Jews in Jerusalem were all about. He was once part of that. He was once at the head of them. And it was not long. And then he was subject to it. So he was very well aware that all of those persecutions and what that church had to deal with, what that was all about. And what does he now say to these Hebrew brethren? He says, but call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, partly whilst ye became companions of them that are so used. So he says that was when you were illuminated. Were you ever illuminated? Were you ever enlightened? What does that mean? That means when the Lord with his Spirit has shone with the light upon the Word of God. And when your soul has received that Word of God in a way that it has never received it before, then you have received light. That is what those Hebrew Christians received, because it was not the way that they were brought up. They were brought up in a ceremony and in a church that had departed so far from the truth. And then they were illuminated, and they were given to see what that truth was. And he says when the Lord did that, then you were ready to endure, he says, a great fight of afflictions. They were willing to be made a gazing stock, he says. Are you willing to be made a gazing stock? That is by the whole world, not only, but also within the church. That is, he says, by reproaches and afflictions. In the midst of a wicked and a perverse generation, and they were willing when they were illuminated and the Word of God did shine in their heart, then it gave them courage to go through every affliction and trial and tribulation and that the Lord would bring on them. Then they were ready truly to forsake the world and every former friend and to go after the Lord, whatever that meant, that they had to go through in their life. They were willing, Paul says, to become companions of them that are so used. He says you were willing when you saw what the true church had to endure, and you were ready to become their companion. And you did not join the oppressors, no, but you did see what the benefit and the blessing was of that suffering people. That was living in your heart, and you say, they have nothing in this world, but they are a blessed people. And that was, he says, when you were illuminated, first illuminated. That was then. That was, we would say, in the beginning, when the love of God did burn in your heart, and then you were like a child, like a youth, who is with strength going forward to meet whatever challenges that are coming against him. When ye were illuminated, but congregation, time passes. It is now about 30 years later, after that the Lord Jesus has been crucified, 30 years about. And thus, time goes on. Christ, he is no more in the world. And the church that is continuing to suffer its tribulation. And that is why Paul says to these Hebrew Christians in Jerusalem, he says, ye have need of patience. Why? He says, because now that promise is not something that is very quickly received. No, he says, you must wait for it. You must wait the Lord's time. And then he is speaking about Habakkuk, right? And what did Habakkuk say there? And he says, well, the vision the Lord said to him is yet for an appointed time. But he says, at the end it shall speak, and it shall not lie. Though it tarry, he says, wait for it. For he says, it will surely come. and not tarry. Thus those long continued griefs are not easy for a person to bear. If it lasts just a little while, well, that's one thing. But congregation, then we are quickly worn out, aren't we? And then if we are not upheld, then we cannot continue. And therefore he is admonishing this people. What is Asaph? He complained too. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will the Lord remember mercy no more? That was Asaph. How is it now? Do we know such a way as Asaph, who thought that the mercy of God was gone, clean gone, forever? He says that his promise, does the promise of God fail forevermore? Do you ever ask that? Do you ever ask that now? You say there was a time. There was a time that I was illuminated. I thought so. And then my heart that went so out after the Lord, and then it didn't matter. Really, it didn't matter. I thought, whatever happens, then I am ready. I want to go in the way of the Lord. And yeah. How is that now? Is that still the same as in the day that you were illuminated? So maybe that's 10 years ago. 20. Here we're speaking about 30 years ago. So how was it then with you? You say, that time is long. You say, was it really even true? Because what has now happened between that time and this time? Do you think you are alone when you say, I have my questions? Did not Abraham also have to endure such questions? And then he says, yeah, the promise of the Lord. Maybe Sarah is right. Maybe I need to help a little bit. Was it not the same in the life of Jacob? With all the trials, with all the afflictions, and then so long in those trials, and then those trials were very, very hard. He does not even realize it. Those trials are coming even through his own children, and those things were so against the flesh of Jacob. We can understand that, fathers and mothers, can we not? That he says, now all these things are against me. Who gets it quickly? Shall I ask you that question, young people? I'll ask you the question for a moment. Who gets it quickly? What does the Lord Jesus say in his word? Who gets it quickly? Yeah, you say that's the temporary faith, right? That comes up quickly. That's right. Is that who you want to be among? It's not a good sign, actually, when you get it quickly. Doesn't mean it's wrong. Does not mean it's wrong. But it's actually, we would say, a mark against you. Because most of the time, that is not received so quickly. Daniel received visions from the Lord. And then what do we read about those visions? We read the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. Thus, when the time appointed is long, that is not saying anything about the truth of the matter, and that a man should question the truth of the matter. because that time is long, for ye have need of patience, that ye might receive the promise. When does Paul say? He says, after ye have done the will of God. What is that? That is our second thought in what that patience consists. Thus, the will of God. How little we think about the will of God. We think about our own will, don't we? And our own will matters much more to us than God's will. And then we are complaining and fretting about everything and that we have to suffer in this world. The will of God. What is the will of God? You say, I do not know what the will of God is for my life. No, that is something that is hid from me. That's true. But it's also declared. It's also manifested in the Word of God. Because the Lord Jesus says that to his own people. What does he say? He says, ye that have followed me, he says, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit upon his throne in his glory, then ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Thus he says, ye that have followed me. That is now the declared, that is the revealed will of God for his church, to follow him. And what way did he go? When he was here upon this world. Was that after all the world? He said, no. It was a rejection of the world, wasn't it? Away did he go? That was the way, congregation, of suffering. That was of trial. It was of tribulation. It was a way that was not just placed upon him. It was not forced upon him, no. But it was a way that he himself had chosen to go. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. In the world ye shall have tribulation. He says, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they shall also persecute you. Ye which have followed me. That is now the will of God that consists in bearing the afflictions that the Lord is placing upon his church in the midst of this world. That is to take up the cross and to follow him. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. So what does Paul say? He says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Remember what you have professed in the beginning of that new life when you were illuminated and you professed it. Maybe you professed it here, yes, but you professed it above all in your heart, what you have given testimony of unto the Lord. And do you remember maybe what the church of the Lord said? When you may come perhaps even unto that table of the Lord, or when you may tell what the Lord has done for you, and when they had said to you, welcome, welcome friend, welcome in the strife. You didn't know what that strife was. No, not in the beginning. You didn't know what that warfare was. You did not know so very much about the enemies in that strife. You did not realize how long continued that strife was. In that day you believed. In that day you believed the promise. In that day you hoped. In that day faith may take hold. In the day there was great gladness. In that day, there was an expectation living in your heart. And today, you say 10, 20, 30 years later, now what do you have? You say, I have nothing. I have nothing. I have nothing but troubles in my life, in my heart, in my family, in my business. It seems like there is just a multiplication of troubles. And where that this is now going to end for me, I do not know. In long continued grief I stand and seek the Lord with outstretched hand. What is Paul saying? Paul says, let us hold fast our profession without wavering. For he says, he is faithful that promised. For he is faithful that promised. Do you know, Paul writes something so precious unto Timothy. Do you know what he writes to Timothy? He says, if we believe not, yet he is faithful. He cannot deny himself. Is that not a wonderful thing? We will ask those who may know anything, the smallest part of what faith is. And how they lack it. And ask if that is not now a wonderful thing. If we believe not, yet he is faithful. What is now depending upon the faith of the people of the Lord? Is their salvation depending upon that faith? Then it would be hopeless. Just ask the people, then it would be hopeless, because they cannot bring it forth. And then especially after 5 years, or 10 years, or 20 years, or 30 years, ask them. And then it is more and more a wonder if we will ever be brought to fruition. But there is nothing, Paul says, that is dependent upon that people. Let us sing for a moment. 278, 2, 4, and 5. The Lord remembers we are dust, and all our frailty knows. Man's days are like the tender grass, and as the flower he grows. 2, 4, and 5 of Psalter 278. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. What does Paul say? He says, we do not know the time. That, he says, is the Lord's time. And yet, he says, that it cannot be too far away. Yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Yet a little while. And he says, you see, the day approaching. He says, Christ has given to you signs. And we see those signs, he says, in our time. We see those signs more and more evidently being fulfilled. We see them before our eyes. Was congregation just a few years later, after the Apostle Paul has written these words, it was only a few years later that that was all fulfilled. And Jerusalem was destroyed. And that promise was fulfilled. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said it, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Let not those who wait for him be discouraged because that the way is difficult and because that the time is long, especially as we see the day approaching, because the signs in our times also do make themselves more and more evident. Let us not put that day, congregation, too far away from us, because he that shall come will come. And because that time is lengthened out, and that takes a little while, has nothing to do with the truth of that promise. The Lord sees his church, and the Lord is going certainly to deliver his church from all their trials and tribulations that they have to experience in this world. But what is this world to us? What is this world to you? Is this world our home? Or is this world just a place that we are passing through? Are we a pilgrim traveling here? Are we a stranger here below? Is this world a place where we receive trial and tribulation and affliction? Did we ever in our life say, maybe not out loud, but in our heart, O Lord, how long? Did you ever say that? I know that we live in a time of great prosperity, don't we? That's a blessing, isn't it? But do you know what it also is? It's a great temptation. A great temptation for all of us, that we do not want to leave it. Do we not have too much enjoyment in all the blessings that the Lord is giving to us and our children here below? That our treasure is not in heaven, where Christ is sitting on that right hand of God. Say, I have my family. That is right. That is right. And then it is understandable, right? We have ties. So I do not want to leave my family. But the Lord, He is able even to take that away. You know, we read of Simeon, when he may take up Christ in his arms. Then he says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And the closer that our heart is in that blessed communion and looking upon that Son of Man, the more all that is in this world is falling away. And I know, young people, you say, oh, I am not ready for that. Maybe not just young people. How many of us say, I fear, congregation, or how we ought to be preparing, because we have no continuing city here below. And now that true church of God, what is that church? Because the apostle says here, after you have now done the will of God, you are going to receive the promise. You are going to receive the fulfillment of what I have promised you. You know what Jacob said? He said, Joseph, now I have seen thy face. Now let me die. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. That is now the purpose of all the trials. It is the purpose of all the afflictions that the Lord is giving unto his church. To do what? To loosen them. To loosen the ties that all of us have here below. And to draw our hearts more and more upward. Our souls in desires after him. And then Paul says, but you must have patience. You must bear it a little bit longer if the Lord sees fit to draw it out a little bit longer. Then you must have patience to do the Lord's will. For that reason, congregation, he also gives to us, Paul says, one another. Paul says, consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, that is, while we are waiting together under the afflictions that the Lord would have a man to bear up under the yoke that he is placing upon a man. Moses said to his Israelite brother, why do you smite your fellow? He is your brother in affliction. He is suffering along with you. Paul says you must consider. You must consider one another that you are all bearing. He says that same weight. Provoke, he says, unto love and good works. He says, incite by your example, by your admonition. That is the work of the members. The work of the members of the church of God. That is to uphold, to undergird one another in our sufferings, body and soul, here below. That is just the opposite of what Job's wife did and his friends, accusing him of sin and tempting him to curse God and die. But with all of the rest of his church, God does not suffer Job to be tempted above that which he is able. But in the temptation has made for him also a way that he may escape, in order that he may be able to bear it. Congregation, what did the Lord say unto the angel of the church of the Ephesians. He says, I know that thou hast borne and hast had patience, and for my sake has labored, and you have not fainted. That is the true church. That is the church of all ages, and there is no other church. There is no other church. Are we a member of that church? Are you a member of that church? Do you suffer along with that church? And do you sometimes get discouraged with that church when the way is long and when that way is hard? Ah, the Lord give to you patience. Patience to endure. Because after you have done the will of God, you shall also receive the promise for yet a little while. And he that shall come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Amen. Let us now sing Psalter 351, stanzas 1 and 2. To thee, O Lord, I lift my eyes. O thou enthroned above the skies, as servants watch their master's hand, or maidens by their mistress stand, so to the Lord our eyes we raise, until his mercy he displays. Both stanzas of 351.
Thank you.
I now ask those who wish to make confession of faith to arise and to answer the following questions. First, do you acknowledge the doctrine of our church, which you have learned, heard, and confessed to be the true and complete doctrine of salvation, conforming with the sacred scriptures? Second, do you promise, by the grace of God, to continue steadfastly in the profession of this doctrine and to live and die in accordance therewith? Third, do you promise at all times to conduct yourselves conformably to this doctrine, faithfully, honorably, and beyond reproach, and to adorn your confession with good works? Fourth, do you promise that you will submit to admonition, correction, and church discipline in the event which God forbid, that you may become delinquent either in doctrine or in life? What is your answer, Bethany Amber Olliman, Jamie Shalena Busicum, Christy Arlene Busicum, Jamie Marie Dunsbergen, Jonathan Jared Dunsbergen, Mariah Caitlin Mouse, Thirza Marlene Van Garderen, Liam Nicholas Wessels? Dear friends, as we have mentioned, as soon as the Lord Jesus entered publicly into his ministerial labors, he was tempted by the devil. Thus, it should not surprise us that we may receive the same kinds of temptations, not only before, but also and especially after that we have made such a confession as you have just made. And what was it that he was tempted with? Well, he was tempted with his own confession, because the devil said to him, "If thou be the Son of God." That was the thing that the Lord Jesus himself confessed. That was his testimony, that he was the Son of God. Thus, it would be no strange thing when afterwards that this devil would come also to you to say, "If that is the truth, if that was a true confession, what must you do?" Say, there is a place, we hope you may find it before the Lord, but you have made confession and in this day within the church, and the Lord also provides his church for you, and that we may be in hand, and that we may be afoot to one another. What did the devil tempt the Lord Jesus with? We read he tempted him with the world. Thus he set the whole world before him. That was a temptation to him in a different way that is a temptation to us. That is a very, very powerful temptation. And after that you have made such a confession, then you can be sure that the devil would like to say the same to you. But now you have made confession. But look at the whole world. Who can stand against such a temptation? Do you know what the devil tempted him with? Apostasy. Apostasy. says, just fall down and worship me. Can you imagine that? Maybe you never had such a temptation yet in your life. But there are some that have to live with such temptations. Desert it all. Desert it all. That is not a strange thing. Because Satan, he will come in a special way against those who have made a confession, and that is in a public way. What did Satan tempt the Lord Jesus with? Well, that was an attempt even on his own life. Brought him to the pinnacle of the temple. Just cast yourself down. Use the word of God. The angels of the Lord, they will watch over you. That is faith. Ah, that is error. That is error. And that Satan is tempting a man with. What is that error? That is, well, then there were stairs, right? He could use those stairs to go down. He could use the means, the lawful means. And the devil said, do not use the lawful means. No. But you must just throw yourself and then show in that way that you are God's son. That is not faith. That is sin. When the Lord has given to us those lawful means, and when there are no lawful means, then to trust that the Lord without the means is able also to keep us. There are so many errors that Satan is tempting a man with here in this world. So many errors by which he tempts us to be part of the church. We want to be one. But we don't want to have the tribulations. We think to be without the trials, without the afflictions, that is not possible. Because that is not the true church of God. And therefore let not the trials and the temptations and that are set before you in the way and the long continuance of those temptations, do not let them discourage you in the way that you are brought. Be not offended when that time is long and when it seems like the Lord even maybe casts you away like with that Canaanitish woman. But the Lord, on the other hand, drew her. We hope, as Paul says, that you may receive patience. That continual steadfastness and waiting through whatever way the Lord brings you in your life, and that he may grant you his blessing under his word. Congregation, receive these friends as confessing members in your midst. There is just one other thing, what we read here, and that is this. Paul says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. It seems like there was more than one reason that some in that church did forsake the assembling of themselves together. That is not because of sickness. No. Then we must not come up. That is normal. That is natural. That is love also for my neighbor. But you know what the time was, and some were afraid to come up. Can you imagine that, children? If we are afraid to come to the house of God because we are afraid of persecution, and that the world says, well, that is that people. They belong to that church, and they are the ones that create havoc in this world. And then, yeah, I do not want to belong to them. Maybe you are afraid also to belong to them when you go out, young people, and to fold your hands and close your eyes in front of the whole world. afraid to be mocked. Ah, it's understandable. It's not good. It is not good. But then there were others that were slothful. Slothful to come up unto the house of God. And that is even worse. But now Calvin says that this expression, assembling yourselves together, that includes something, that it actually includes an addition, just like today. You say they don't become members, they became members in their baptism. Today they become confessing members. But what was that at the time of the apostle? That was the beginning of that church. Then they came in through baptism. And then there was an addition. But at that time in the Jewish church, there was an addition not only of those who were from among the Jews, but they're also from among the Gentiles. From among the Gentiles. They are ignorant people. They are people who were not brought up the same as we were. And then there were people, they would not come. Because of that addition unto the church, that was, and then congregation, then we have forgotten who we are. Thus that is the worst. When we, the Jews, for their national pride, would not come together with those who were Gentiles in that new Christian church. What does Paul say? Exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. As members of the church, we have congregation, everything to do with one another. Because then we join in one church, in one assembly. And then we have also a responsibility toward one another. Let us not permit each other just to go lost so easily. He says that not assembling together, then we must exhort one another. And then especially as we see the day approaching, the day that the Lord is coming to deliver his church from all their trials and from all their tribulations. Friends, the Lord remember you and bless you in the midst of us as a congregation. We ask the congregation to stand and to sing Psalter 228, stanza 3, on behalf of these young people. A son and shield forever is God, the Lord Most High. To those who walk uprightly, no good will he deny. The third stanza of 228, standing. Let us try to close. Lord of heaven and of earth, thy word has gone forth for a moment again, a short moment in the course of this day, in the course of this week, in the course of our life. Our Lord, bring it in our hearts, each and every one. It is not according to our flesh, because we would have our city here. But oh, do show to us and give us the illumination of thy Holy Spirit, that thy word may be opened and that we might see and feel and know thy truth. Be on the right and on the left of these young people. Give gladness in the hearts of their parents and of their grandparents and relatives, whether they may be here or listening or not able. O Lord, wilt thou grant them an eye to a heart to acknowledge thee for all that thou hast given, for what we are not able to do in the hearts of our own children, and a cry that thou may bring it further. Look upon us in the rest of this day. Bring us safely, each one, to our place. Help us to keep thy Sabbath day holy, and wilt thou be in a special way with the curatorium when we hope to meet. Give traveling mercies and gladden us with thy deeds. We ask it in the forgiveness of all of our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is 362, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to thee. Lord, hear my call. I love thee, Lord, for thou dost heed my plea, and forgiving all. 1, 2, and 3 of 362. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.